Welcome to another edition of Time to Heal with Cassidy and Craig. Today's show is titled Growing Up in the Hood, an Emotional Perspective. I am E.G. Cassidy.
And I'm Craig, a.k.a. Mac, a.k.a. C, depending on what city and how you know me.
So, Craig, I understand that when you were a younger man, you grew up in a pretty rough neighborhood. Could you give us a little background?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I've been on my own since 15, and I spent that time between 15 and 30 between Chillicothe, Ohio, and East Cleveland, Ohio, or Cleveland, Ohio in general, all over. But it's, yeah, it's pretty much, you know, typical of any black neighborhood that's, you know, impoverished. It's, you know, it's drugs and prostitution and gangs and everything else you could think of, you know, that they pretty much make movies about.
Guns.
Oh, plenty of guns. I mean, it's the Wild West.
So, from an emotional perspective, would you say that you lived in a lot of fear?
Nah, I wouldn't say fear. It's because, you know, expressing emotion is the quickest way to get you touched. So you pretty much have no emotion when you move around the streets. It's, you gotta play the tough guy all the time, you know what I mean? And reason being, for so many different aliases and, you know, depending on what city and how you know me, you constantly have to reinvent yourself.
Well, let me ask you this. So what age were you when you were going through that?
My parents split when I was 14, and my mother moved to Cleveland. My father stayed in Texas, and that's what landed me like in the middle. I was in Chillicothe. By the time I was 15 years old, I was in and out of different relatives' houses before I was just on my own, and pretty much having to figure out life from that point on.
Okay. And how did the things that you went through and endured, how did that affect you later on as an adult?
Well, it's like nobody grows up and says, hey, I want to be a drug dealer, or hey, I want to be a thug. You know what I mean? My dream is to play football. That's what I wanted to do. And that was my passion. And when you're on your own and you have to feed yourself, you got to take on different personas based on what it is you have to do to get through each day. So, you know, selling drugs, there's a guilt that comes with it when you know that's not the type of person you are. You know, robberies here and there or whatever had to take place in order to get through the day. I mean, you have to deal with that on the inside, but you bury it, and later on, you've had this perception of you built up because of your street persona, and then it's hard to shake that because people believe that's who you are. So, I mean, it definitely comes back to haunt you later on. Definitely. And if you catch any type of case, it's going to follow you for life. So, I mean, but it is what it is.
So how difficult was it to get a job, you know, a legitimate job?
I mean, I could get a job just like that. I mean, you know, every black person in this country knows when you get a job, you got to turn on your best white man. So,
I mean, I did not know that.
I mean, I know how to, you know how, it's like I said, you got a mask depending on what it is you have to do. So when it's time to get a job, you know, go in, you sit up straight, you dress nice, and you talk like this. You appear to be as non-threatening as possible. But it's not necessarily the issue of getting a job, it's the quality of job.
Okay. So, being able to make enough money to survive.
Exactly. So, you know, in black neighborhoods, when they say, hey, we're creating jobs, it's generally a fast food restaurant,
okay,
low budget grocery store, something like that, if that, and or a car wash. And you're not making no money without pretty much spending your whole life trying to just do this one job that's not making ends meet. So everybody has a side hustle. You know, females do hair, nails at home. Dudes might cut hair and on their front porch and then go to work later on. And you got the cats like me that just seem Like, I could make three times what you trying to give me in a couple hours just standing out here with my friends smoking weed and serving the people that already done flushed their life. You know what I mean? So.
So difficult.
It's definitely, like I say, quality of job.
Yeah. And doing something you obviously wouldn't have, be able to get a job doing something you actually like or love.
Yeah, definitely. And it's, I mean, my circumstances were different from a lot of kids, because the average kid could get a grocery store job and he could catch his little $120 check and be happy with that. I had to buy my own clothes, own food, pay for hotels, or pay whoever was letting me crash at their house. And I mean, I just had to figure it all out. So I needed grown man money.
And this was at 15?
15.
Wow. Wow. That's pretty heavy. And hard.
Yeah. And I still played football and still graduated on time. I mean, wow. I made sure I stayed in school, and not because a diploma really meant anything to me, but it was something I had to prove to myself that regardless of my circumstances, I could still knock this out. Because,
yeah.
I mean, school was a cakewalk.
Yeah. Well, so that means then that if school was a cakewalk for you, you were pretty intelligent.
Yeah.
It had to be. It has to be, because high school's not easy for everybody.
Yeah, true.
So what about healthcare? You're laughing, I see that, but what, I mean, did you have access to any type of healthcare at all?
To answer that, I pulled my own wisdom teeth.
Oh my.
And
wow.
That was just pretty much going to the dentist, acting like I had an appointment just to find out what the issue actually was with my toothache. So I pretty much acted like I scheduled an appointment, and when they went on the books, it was like, we don't have nothing. It was like I spoke with, and you know, pretty much played the role. So I got a free little exam just to give me an idea of what I was working with. And then after that, it was like hangers on the stove to sterilize them and start prying them out. And I mean, there is no health care. I mean, you got free clinics, but nobody goes to the free clinic. It's gotta be a dire situation. It's most times you hit a free clinic, you won't come out in better condition than you went in, so.
Wow, that's tough. That's really tough. So when you got sick, other than the dental, what did you do? If you got the flu or well, let's just say if the virus had been out back then and you had contracted it, what would you have done?
Oh, I've stayed hydrated. That's just remembering from being young and catching colds or whatever. And that'd be the main thing that was emphasized. Stay hydrated so you don't dehydrate with Gatorade and tea. And I mean, money's limited. So
yeah.
Kind of had to go, and I stole those things. You know what I mean? When I didn't have clean clothes, I went to department stores and I stole new clothes. When I didn't have food, I went to the grocery store and I stole food. I mean, I didn't do anything because I wanted to. It was all out of I need to, I have to.
Survival.
Yeah, I mean.
A need to survive.
I was the one dude in school that couldn't buy lunch. Lunch was $1.25 and I didn't have $1.25.
Shit.
So I sit in the bathroom and wait till lunch was over. And
that's sad.
That alone sparked a cigarette habit and contributed to my road towards drug dealing.
Wow. So is it safe to say then that you didn't have any support system?
Little to no. I mean, I had my friends. I mean, I have to definitely send a shout out to the people I actually consider my friends. I won't disclose their names, but it's like an incident I'll never, it's not even an incident. It's just a time I'll never forget, and this is what made one of my particular friends, we're still friends to this day. And I came over to his house and he asked me, he was about to fix him something to eat. He was like, man, you hungry? And me being proud was like, nah, I'm good, I already ate. But he do better, just looking at me, and he brought me a plate anyways. And that right there, from that day on, he's been my best friend in life. You know, I mean, And I've had friends that when I didn't have a place to sleep, they would sneak me into their mom's house and then they'd catch hell for it later on. But
I think that's how we met.
Exactly.
Didn't know your background at the time, but wish I had. It didn't, but you know, it is what it is. So would you say that you lived in survival mode most of the time?
Definitely.
Survival mode mentality most of the time?
Survival mode. I mean, a whole lot of wandering nights. Some of them just trying to figure out what the hell's going on, like what I do to deserve any of this. And other nights you're just looking for your next Vic. And when I say Vic as in victory, you know what I mean? Which is you hit a lick and catch somebody slipping, you know, come up on some money, come up on some weed, come up on some alcohol, whatever it is to get you through, you know what I mean? But definitely survival mode all the time. It's like, if you have the killers and the victims, what would you rather be if you had the choice? If this is your environment, I'd rather be the killer opposed to the victim. The killer sleeps at night. You know, the victim, they're the ones that live in fear. So it definitely shapes your persona, the type of person you feel you need to be in order to make it day to day.
Wow. And then, so what was there a defining moment or event that happened that, because you obviously don't live that way now, you don't live in the hood, you have a nice life, you have a nice family, a wonderful home. How did you get out? I mean, what happened? How did you get out of that moment?
Well, luckily for me, my brothers, you know, they all made a way out of Cleveland. And definitely not going the road I went, but they were established in, you know, in Texas, and they gave me the opportunity. Once, you know, I caught a case, went to the penitentiary, and, you know, sitting in there, it definitely gives you a lot of time to reflect on what led you there. And I mean, I knew I was I had a one-way ticket already punched. You know what I mean? I mean, I got away with so much. It was only a matter of time before I do something and end up where I actually probably deserved to be at that point in my life. And it was definitely a blessing because it gave me the opportunity to look back and see what I had to do and then come up with a better plan or way to do things. And I mean, just getting that, actually, it's a lot of times I actually feel like I felt less pressure in the penitentiary than I did actually free, you know what I mean?
On the streets.
I mean, I knew wasn't too much expected of me. Keep my head down, mind my business, and I'll be all right, and read everything. And then when I got out, you know, my brothers provided a way for me to come down and get the opportunity to change my life. And, you know, I broke myself to do the 180, so I'm not the person I used to be.
Nice. Very, very proud of you for that. Very proud of you.
So
you got out of the penitentiary and then you moved to another state, had some family members helping, but that emotional mindset, did it come with you?
Oh, definitely. I mean, when I moved to Houston, Texas, I was Cleveland, Ohio, all the way through. I mean, number one, Cleveland's a hostile city. Pretty much the whole north, northeast is hostile. We don't get sunlight like you do down south, and that fuels a lot of your emotions. And when you wake up to gray skies and it's cold majority of the time, it puts you in that mind state of aggressive. You know, you're aggressive, you're depressed, all of that. And then with really, you know, no outlets to express too much of anything, you suppress it all. And then when it does manifest, it's generally in a violent, messed up manner. You know what I mean?
Yeah. How long did it take for you to shed some of that and have a change of mindset?
honestly, I'm still working on it.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of things that I feel won't ever leave. You know, my instincts from being in the streets as long as I was is that, you know, I pay attention to everything. I'm not friendly with everybody. I don't smile. You know, you got to know me to know me. You know, if I haven't spent a significant amount of time around you, I'm not going to be cracking jokes and the funny guy I am when I'm with my family. I mean, when I move around here, even though it's a more laid back environment, I'm still that dude when time to time I find myself somebody will wave and I'm like, damn, you waving at me for? You know what I'm saying? And then I have to remember, like, you know, it's not like that. But when I visit Cleveland, it's like as soon as I touch down, it all comes back.
Wow.
Like I instantly have to harden up and, motherfucker, what you looking at? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
and
yeah.
Even though that's not the person I am, that's the person you got to be in order to maintain, because they see you coming. Like, yeah, he ain't from here. Like, hey, well, now I got to let him know, like, oh, I am from here. Like, I know exactly what's going on. Trust me.
Yeah, that's pretty heavy. So I've known you for, what, 17 years, maybe?
About 15.
15 years. I know you as a very nice, very kind, funny as fuck guy. We've had a lot of fun over the years, being in the same family for a long time. And so it's really interesting for me to hear these things, because I know the other Craig. I know the Craig that gets up and he goes to work every day and takes really good care of his family and loves his sons and loves his daughter and loves his family. So it's interesting for me to hear these things. So if you had a young person that you were able to talk to, maybe give some advice to, share some insights from all the experiences that you've had, and they were in that environment and wanted out of that environment, what would you say to them?
Right now, my main thing would be, don't bank on being a professional athlete, number one, or a famous musician, because it seems like that's pretty much our options, or that's how we see things growing up. Like, you either gonna play basketball, football, or you're gonna be a rapper or something like that. My thing would be, if you're selling drugs, invest your money. Read as much as possible and study the white people that actually made money.
Yeah.
And then
learn from someone else.
It's like at 15, 16, 17 years old, and you see pictures of Times Square, videos of Times Square, and you see all these little ticker numbers on the bottom, and you're like, man, bullshit. That's millions of dollars right there just flashing in front of your face that you could easily be a part of if you do a little reading, research, and take the money you make and then actually do something with it.
And you've done some of that, right?
Yeah, I definitely have, and it's made a big difference in keeping me from having to go backwards in life. And I mean, at any time, you know, you never know what life will throw at you. And me, with the experiences I've had, I know if needed, I could easily get a bag of coke and cook it up and then get right back out there, because a crackhead is going to be a crackhead 24/7. And I mean, I know how to maneuver, but that's not a life I want to go back to, nor just not the type of thing I show my kids or anything like that. But my advice to a young person would be, start establishing some type of financial freedom, especially if your money comes fast. Just know that just as fast as it comes, it can end just that quick. So what you do with it in that time frame will be the main difference of how you can get out of it.
Okay, and then so from an emotional perspective, what advice would you give to a young person to help them overcome the hardships they've endured in that lifestyle? Let's, you know, do you have any emotional advice you could offer someone that's been through that? maybe say they're a grown person now and they've been through it, but they're still struggling emotionally?
Well, number one, I say embrace it. Embrace the emotion. You know, if the emotion is anger, how you grew up, you know, let it out. Embrace it, let it out, and let go of it. You know, I mean, me personally, I've done a lot of wrong, but I've done a lot of right.
Yeah.
And when I look in the mirror, I'm definitely comfortable with the man I've become. But I know for a fact that the man I am now comes from the hardships I endured.
Yeah.
Based on, yeah, I had to do this, I had to do that. I never felt good about most of it, you know what I'm saying? But at the same time, when I encounter kids that, you know, come from a similar lifestyle, I try to make it a point to show them something different.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Come hang out with me. Come see my house. Come live, you know, I mean, I got a son who's not even my biological son, but he's my oldest son's half brother. And I've pretty much been hands-on with him his whole life and gave him the opportunity to come to Texas and see and just get away from that environment and see, like, man, there's a lot more going on than this little bubble that you're pretty much trapped in for X amount of time. I mean, people can say, oh, you can get out, you can do this, and that's, it's like, cool. But I mean, if you go to a whole nother city, you go to Cleveland, I mean, I know plenty of dudes that's done left Cleveland and went to different cities, but the places they end up ain't no different from where they left.
Yeah.
Because they go with the same mind state, and, well, I can go, like I said, every hood, no matter where you're at, they're all the same. You're gonna find the same elements, the crime, the drugs, the guns. And it's, I mean, it's easier to get a gun than it is to get a loan for college.
Wow.
So.
Wow. Didn't know that either.
Yeah, I mean, yeah. So when you got that mind state and the carries, which I mean, I know for a fact you can drop me off in any city in any state and I'll be all right. Based on what I know streetwise.
Yeah.
But to legitly, you know, go to from another place, need a place to live, still gotta eat every day. And yeah, all right, I get a job, I might have to wait 2 weeks before I can start or wait 3 weeks before I get my first check. But in that time period, what do you do?
Yeah.
Especially, yeah. I mean, it's a lot easier now if you have a vehicle, you can Uber something and, you know, work for yourself pretty much, but.
Or even Uber to work if you don't have a vehicle, if you're in a big enough city where there's not public transportation or something like that.
Yeah, but I mean, nowadays it's way more outlets to legitimately
get
make
out.
Money and change your life opposed to 15, 20 years ago when a lot of the things that like kids take for granted now, we didn't have access to. So it was pretty much winging it, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So.
Well, and I think too, racism has changed. Hopefully, in the last 15 years, we've come much further with eradicating those mindsets. I know they're not gone by any means. I understand that, but I do feel like and hope that we've come much further as a country, you know, in the way that we perceive people of other colors or people of other, you know, sexual preferences. So let's hope that's a plus now for people trying to change their life.
Well, nowadays when really nobody wanting to go to work right now, it's definitely the job market is open for whoever's willing to put the work in. So you can actually make some money, but it's like in a city like Cleveland, you can make $15 an hour and you're still in the hood.
Yeah.
City like Houston, you can take $10 an hour and live in the suburbs.
Yeah.
And that's the difference. You know what I mean? The quality of life.
Yeah.
The quality of life is better, even though you might not have that quality job.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
Yeah, because, well, housing is much cheaper in the South than it is in the North.
Yeah,
that's for sure.
And so, I mean, up there, and it's, I mean, the mind state is different. The North is segregated. I mean.
Really? Still?
Regardless of what people might think that's never traveled up North or maybe just grew up strictly in the South. And you know, the perception is, well, the South is racist, and it's like there's racists everywhere, number one, but it's a different type of racism.
Is that right?
Down South, they'll tell you how they feel. You know what I'm saying? You nigger, I don't like you. Okay, cool. Up North, they'll shake your hand, smile on your face, but hey, when you go in the bank, you ain't getting that loan.
Wow.
When you want that good job, nah. You know, when they see where you what your address is or even what your name is. And a lot of times it's like, nah. And then you're stuck in the same boat where I done put in 50 applications and nothing's happening. What do? You do what you know. You know what I mean? And hopefully don't get caught in the process.
Wow. Well, interesting. So I guess this is a rhetorical question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. You're glad you're in another environment, I'm certain.
Hell yeah.
Okay. All right. I just had to throw it out there.
I never want to go back. I will always love where I'm from. And if I could do it all over again, I probably wouldn't change anything. I take every hardship, because there's a lot of times, like later on in life, you deal with stuff and you realize what you went through before just preps you for what you got to go through now.
Yeah.
And I mean, personally, I've had plenty of times where my worst days are my fondest days. Like, I had a lot of fun, like, even though it was, you know, a lot of turmoil in my life and lost for a long time, I still had a lot of fun. I met a lot of cool people and that are lifelong friends, and I mean, I wouldn't change anything.
Now, your relationship with your parents. Obviously, you said you've been on the street since you were 15, so that's a pretty young age. You're still a minor. You're not even an adult yet. Do you have any resentments or any, have you dealt with those resentments with your family, your parents?
With my father, you know, we was at odds forever. Because, I mean, I felt like the black sheep were pretty much my whole life. I felt like he treated brothers better than I got treated. And then when I was on my own, you know, I felt like it was his fault. But then once you get older, you go through your own relationships and you realize, hey, mom and dad, this is a part of life. You know what I mean? So I began to understand that after having my own relationships. And then on top of that, just witnessing him and the type of person he was with us as kids and just in general, I didn't want to be like that. So
yeah,
it made me a better father to my kids, definitely. And
and I've seen you with your kids and you're a fantastic father.
And I appreciate that.
Yeah, you are.
And I mean, it just, you know, having to just do so much on my own at such a young age, it does instill a lot of pride in you when you come out on the other side. Like, you pretty much feel untouchable. Like, I don't give a fuck what they throw at me. I did this, and I wasn't even supposed to be able to do that. You know what I mean? So I thanked him. I thank my old man for being the person he was, because if not for him being that type of person, I wouldn't have went through half the things I went through, true, but I learned from everything. I don't take life as losses. When you take an L, as they say in the street, it's not a loss to me, it's a lesson. And it's only a loss if you don't learn from what it is you had to do. And people who don't learn find themselves on that rat wheel doing the same thing over and over. Same results, which is pretty much definition of crazy. But,
so that's a really good thing. I guess that would be a good point to share with any young people going through it. Learn from the hardships you're going through, to try to better yourself, you know, to make your life better is another way to put it.
Yeah, I mean, what doesn't kill you makes you stronger. Embrace your hardships, you know. Like, Tupac is my favorite rapper, and he has a ad lib in one of his songs where he's telling, you know, don't nobody got it like this. They all want to be like us, to be the have-nots. And I understood that because I wasn't living impoverished my whole life. You know, I was middle class to a certain point, and I witnessed the kids who came from money trying to be like the kids who didn't have it. So it's like, while you're running around wanting to sell drugs and tote a gun, but you live in a gated up community, like, what's wrong with you?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And I understood what he was saying. He's like, they all want to be like us because they feel that's where the respect is at.
Okay.
And it's cool to some, but they don't understand, like, man, nobody enjoys living like that. And the ones who do, they're institutionalized to a point of the systematic social system that we live in. And I mean, but pretty much I've witnessed the people who don't have to try to, and I've seen the ones who have to do everything to not have to, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's just kind of weird, the dynamics of it, but once again, it is what it is, you know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah. Well, thank you very much for being so open and honest and blunt about your experiences in the hood. Yeah. Had to have been very, very hard emotionally.
I mean, you have a lot of nights when, yeah, you cry in the shower.
Really?
Yeah, you know, you cry in the rain. You don't let nobody see you drop in tears. I mean, I lost my religion going through it. You know what I mean? And because you struggle with them questions like, if God is real, why I gotta go through this?
Yeah,
I can. To the point where you're like, man, ain't no God. This, that, and the other. And then you stare down the barrel of a gun and your head ain't get blown off. And you realize, like, it's something.
Somebody's got my back.
It's something, you know what I mean?
Saving my ass.
Yeah, it's definitely something. And so, I mean, I'm very thankful because I've made it out of a lot of situations that easily could have went the other way. And I wouldn't be sitting here right now.
Yeah.
So.
Well, I'm glad you are. Is there anything else you'd like to share before we end this?
Pretty much, I mean, you know, as far as we know, you get one turn to live this life, regardless of the life you handed. You know, Black people in general, we flip everything. You know what I mean? We can take the negative and make it a positive and make it look so good that you want to do it too. You know what I mean? So my thing would be, you know, embrace your struggle, because it's definitely going to shape who you are later on in life. And at the same time, if you have kids, grandkids, down the line, whatever, you go through that. So hopefully you can give them the tools needed to not go through that. And if they find themselves in a similar position, they have some type of way to navigate through it based off what was told. A lot of things that kept me in line was what my mom told me, instilled in me, you know, before her and my pop split. You know, that's what kept me drawing that line in the dirt that I wouldn't cross.
What was it she told you?
I mean, just basically how you treat people, just decency. I mean, some people do have things coming to them. And I mean, it is what it is, but then there's a lot that's like, it's like, for instance, you might rob somebody, and not necessarily gunpoint or nothing like that. You just might just strong arm somebody you know that's weaker than you and just take their money, because you might need it more than they need it, or what you feel they need, you know, at that particular time. But knowing that that's not the right thing to do might be the reason why you didn't knock this dude all the way out, or possibly kill him, or, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
yeah,
if given the opportunity to make it right, if you're decent, you'll make it right. I mean, there's people that I've, you know, done things to, and later on down the line, I've apologized for, you know what I mean? Yeah. Like, not that I wanted to, this is what my life was at this moment. This is what my situation was at this moment. And unfortunately, you was that target. And, you know, but I mean, definitely, and you try to pay it forward. That's why I look out for kids, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
If I see kids that's walking and I know them, and it's like, dude, get in, I'll give you that ride. You know what I mean? There's a lot of times when I'll be walking and it's snowing or it's raining, and I wish somebody would just, you know, give me that ride. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I mean, it is what it is. So, you know, you learn from your experiences and you share your experiences, and hopefully they can look at you and be like, well, damn, he went through it, he all right.
Yeah.
I'll be all right too, you know what I mean?
Yeah, and that's what I'm hoping that someone will take away from this show today.
Definitely. So, like I said, embrace your struggles. You got to, because Without the pain, you wouldn't know what pleasure feels like. You
true.
Know?
Very true.
You know, you gotta very take true. The pain. It's the yin and yang, so. And it can't rain forever. That's how I look at it. It can't rain forever. And a lot of people that live how they live, a lot of them chose it. I mean, honestly, we all come from the same type of environment. Some of us made it, some of us didn't. And
so it's about choices.
A lot of times, yes. Okay. Choices, and I mean, then you know, I mean, if fate has your number, it has your number, you know?
Yeah.
I mean, I know good dudes that wasn't in the streets that lost their life doing nothing, hanging out with their girlfriend, and, you know, somebody feeling like, I want your car. Give me your car, you get your head blowed off because somebody wants your vehicle. And it's like, nothing he did warranted any of that, or he didn't deserve that, but
yeah.
That's one of those, like, damn.
That's,
you know,
yeah,
that's the environment, but that's one reason why you always have to stay on point and, you know, keep your head on a swivel, P's and Q's at all times. And know that everybody around you ain't necessarily there for you. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That everybody don't have your best interest at heart. And coming from an environment like that, majority of the people you're around don't have your best interest at heart, because when you start making moves that don't benefit them, then you start seeing how they really feel about you.
Yeah. Okay.
So, interesting. It's basically a bunch of people that want to live different but don't know how to go about it.
Yeah.
So they hate on the ones who do, and at the same time do what they know. And a lot of time it's self-destruction. So, I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah. Well, thank you. Thank you for your honesty. Thank you for sharing.
I appreciate you having me.
Yeah. That's the end of this Time to Heal with Cassidy and Craig. I hope you've enjoyed it.
No, definitely.
Thank you.
Yeah.